Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. One of the lessons of history that nations frequently fail to learn is that policies, actions, and even the lack of action bear their consequences in future generations. We have seen this truth played out on the world stage in many circumstances. For example, after World War I, the Allied powers exacted a terrible economic and political revenge on Germany. Their policies and actions in the aftermath of that war sowed the seeds of resentment among Germans that Adolf Hitler used in his rise to power. As a result, the world was plunged into an even more terrible war some 20 years after the end of the war to end all wars. At the end of the Second World War, the leaders of Great Britain and the United States had the opportunity to shape the destiny of Western Europe and Asia after the fall of Nazi Germany and the Empire of Japan. Unlike their predecessors at the end of World War I, they did not impose harsh sanctions on the Germans and Japanese. Instead, they gave massive concessions to Joseph Stalin, the leader of the Soviet Union. The result was a Soviet domination of Eastern Europe for more than 40 years after the end of World War II. Countless millions of people in these countries were terribly oppressed, and many died under the puppet regimes installed by the Soviets. Unfortunately, there is no indication that current world leaders have learned this lesson. In our time, many have ignored or downplayed the threat of Islam to world peace and safety. Consequently, we are experiencing a wave of violent Islamic conquest that has not been seen since before the Crusades. Once again, we are learning the hard way that what we do or do not do has consequences, and these consequences can be horrific. This is a lesson with which students of Scripture should be well aware, for it is graphically portrayed in the book of Judges. For a few moments today, we will look at the circumstances in which the seeds of chaos were sown in Israel and the terrible consequences that grew from those seeds. The book of Judges is the seventh book in our Old Testament and the second book in the section that we call history. It covers the period of Israel's history from the time of the elders who survived Joshua until the time of the first king in Israel. Some commentators believe the book was written by Samuel, who was the last of the judges, according to 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 15 through 17. But this is not certain. As it was with the books of Joshua and Ruth, it is possible that Samuel was involved in the compiling of the book of Judges, but there is just not enough evidence to say so conclusively. The period of the judges lasted about 350 years, from about 1385 BC to about 1055 BC. During this era, Israel went through a series of cycles in which they did evil in the sight of the Lord and were given by him into the hands of their enemies. Under the oppression of their enemies, Israel called upon God for deliverance, and in each instance he raised up a judge who overthrew their enemy and governed Israel for a period of peace and faithfulness to God. A total of 14 men and one woman served as judges over Israel, beginning with Othniel, who was the nephew of Caleb, and ending with Samuel, who anointed the first two kings of Israel, Saul and David. Most of these judges are only briefly mentioned in this book, and Eli and Samuel, the last two judges of Israel, are not mentioned at all. However, the judges whose stories are given in detail supply us with all the information we need to know about how this period of Israel's history unfolded. The time of the judges can perhaps best be described as a period of absolute chaos that is summarized by a statement found in the very last verse of this book. In Judges chapter 21 and verse 25, the text says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." A similar statement is found in Judges chapter 17 and verse 6 as the introduction to the record of the idolatry of a man from the tribe of Ephraim named Micah. Now, when we consider that the period of the judges occurred only a short time after Joshua's death, we are amazed at how quickly Israel fell away from God. Of the generation of Israelites who came out of Egypt, who were 20 years of age and older, only Joshua and Caleb were allowed to enter Canaan. The generation that grew up during the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness were witnesses to all the mighty deeds that God did during the last years of Moses' leadership. They were also witnesses to God's power as Joshua led Israel in the conquest of the Promised Land. These things should have still been fresh in their minds when Joshua died. However, even if no one else remembered these things, the elders who survived Joshua certainly should have. This brings us to the way in which the seeds of chaos were sown in Israel. In Judges chapter 2, verses 6 through 10, the scripture says this: "When Joshua had dismissed the people, the sons of Israel went each to his inheritance to possess the land. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, who had seen all the great work of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. Then Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the territory of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. All that generation were also gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel." The first thing that we notice in this passage is the fact that Israel remained faithful to God as long as Joshua lived and as long as the elders who survived him lived. In verse 7, the text tells us that these faithful leaders had seen all the great work of the Lord which he had done for Israel. This helps us to understand why Israel remained faithful during the lives of these men. They had seen with their own eyes all the things that God had done for his people in bringing them into the Promised Land. This personal knowledge motivated them to be faithful to themselves and to keep the people faithful as well. In verse 10, however, we see a dramatic shift in the perspective of Israel. This verse says that a generation arose that did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. For the first time since Israel left Egypt, there was no one alive who had actually seen the mighty works of God on behalf of his people. No one had personal knowledge of God's benevolent care for Israel. Whatever this generation might be told about God and his power would essentially be theoretical rather than practical. To be sure, this fact should not have changed Israel's perspective toward God, and it was not an excuse for what followed. Even though none of this generation had personally seen God's mighty works, they still should have trusted in him and still should have remained faithful to him. We know this because of something Moses commanded in the early chapters of the book that we call Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, Moses said, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." This, perhaps more than anything else, was the key to Israel remaining faithful to God. It is not coincidence that Moses specifically referred to a succession of generations fearing the Lord and keeping his statutes and commandments in verse 2 of this text. If Israel diligently taught God's word to their children, and their children diligently taught God's word to their own children, there would never arise a generation that did not know the Lord or what he had done for Israel. The fact that such a generation did arise tells us that Israel failed in this most important responsibility. There is one additional factor that I believe contributed to the chaos that marked the time of the judges. In Judges chapter 1, verses 27 through 35, the scripture details the failure of several of the tribes to drive the Canaanite nations out of their territories. Manasseh, Ephraim, Zebulun, Asher, and Naphtali all left remnants of the Canaanites in their territories. Worse than this, the tribe of Dan was forced to leave their territory by the Amorites who lived there. In Judges chapter 2 and verse 3, the angel of the Lord told Israel that because they had failed to utterly destroy all the Canaanite nations, those who remained in the land would become thorns in their sides and their gods would be a snare to them. These, then, are the seeds that brought about the chaos that followed. Israel suffered much at the hands of their enemies during this lengthy period, but they did so as a direct result of their own actions. They sinned against God, not because they had never seen Him perform a mighty deed in their presence, but because they failed to learn His statutes and commandments as Moses directed them. They sinned against God because they were enticed by the religions of the pagan nations they had failed to drive from the land. These actions and attitudes led to the consequences of which we read in the book of Judges. When we consider the period of the Judges, we see that its lessons are timeless. They are as valid today as they were back then. The most important lesson we learn is that our actions and attitudes have consequences, not just in our own time, but in the long term. If a Christian chooses not to be faithful to the Lord's service, we understand that he puts his soul in risk in eternity. Most Christians who become lax in their faith accept this truth, and may even boldly express their lack of concern for it. What they ignore, however, is that their choice plants the seeds of chaos in the hearts of their children, which can have devastating effects in their lives. An unfaithful Christian once knew the truth, but has turned his back on it. His children, however, growing up in an unfaithful home, may never learn the truth at all. A Christian who turns away from the Lord may, by his actions, spawn generations of unbelievers by his choice. In such a case, it is not just his own soul that is in jeopardy, but the souls of his descendants, perhaps for generations to come. No one should be so selfish as to make this kind of choice. A second lesson we learn from Judges is that God intends the best for us, and with our cooperation, will grant that to us. As long as Israel remained faithful to God, they prospered in every aspect of life. Even when they sinned and were punished by God, when they repented and called upon Him for deliverance, He graciously granted their pleas and sent a judge to bring them back to Him. What God requires of us is obedience. If we do what He commands us, we will be blessed here in life and also in eternity. When Paul wrote to correct the problems of the church in Corinth, he addressed the chaos that had erupted in their worship assemblies. He warned them to conduct their worship properly and in an orderly manner, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40. He told them that they must do so because God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, verse 33. This instruction is a principle that connects directly to the time of the judges, when everyone did what was right in his own eyes. No wonder it was a period of chaos. God wants our lives to be orderly and proper and peaceful. The only way we can reach this goal as individuals is to be diligent to learn and live by God's revealed word. The only way we can ensure this for our families and for the church is to diligently teach God's word to each generation and to always obey His will in everything we do. If we do so, there will never again rise a generation that does not know the Lord or what He has done for His people. The question for each of us to ponder today is, am I doing what is right in my own eyes, or am I diligently seeking to know and to obey God's will? The generation of Israelites who lived in the chaos of the time of Judges would urge us to not follow their example, but to put God first in everything we do. If you're a Christian, turn away from the chaos of doing things your own way and obey the gospel today. put God first and bring true order and blessing to your life here on earth and receive eternal life at the end of time. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.